are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
5 seconds left. He's got the ball. He should have it. Isaiah hangs on the ball, flips it up to the Raptors. Detroit is the city of champions again.
Detroit basketball.
What is happening? Welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Thursday, October the 1st, and the NBA Finals start with a dud. This is your boy Matt Shook, the host of the Locked On Pistons podcast, a sports writer here in Detroit City covering sports gambling for PlayMichigan.com, Pistons fan and follower my whole life, just like you guys, and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well. Today's episode is brought to you by RockAuto.com. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts that your car will ever need at RockAuto.com. Today on the show, I've got my takes from, not much really to say about that. Game one of the NBA Finals. Brian is back with another draft profile, a college player from the city of Philadelphia who's number 16 on the Locked On Pistons listeners big board of players that the Pistons fans hope that Troy Weaver comes away with on the NBA draft on November 18th, where the Pistons will pick 7th. Also later on, I've got Nolan Bianchi and Ethan Smith of the Locked On Red Wings podcast coming to talk about their draft. They've got theirs coming up on Tuesday. Apologies in advance. I think this is the first time this has happened for me. I don't think that my microphone was connected to the Zoom, so maybe it was like the computer audio, so not great there. But I would say, you know, as we're about 6 months into the pandemic, I'm going to pat myself on the back for not screwing up the audio too much during this past season. So I'm somehow going to turn this into a positive about how things have been going. But anyway, good draft talk from them briefly, but more importantly, check out their show, Locked On Red Wings, where they will be supplying all you need to know and have supplied all you need to know if you want to go back and check out some of the old episodes of the draft profiles that they've had, as the Red Wings will pick number 4 on Tuesday night in the NHL draft. But give me a follow on Twitter at @Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore for that. Also the Locked On Pistons Twitter account, and check us out on Facebook at Locked On Pistons -Matt Shook. But the NBA Finals got underway in the bubble on Wednesday night in Orlando. The Lakers come away with the Game 1 victory against the Miami Heat. That was 116-98. The big third quarter to run away with what was already a pretty big halftime lead that they had. Miami came out firing, knocking down everything, opened up an early double-digit lead. That did not last long, as they couldn't miss it first and they couldn't make much after that. Biggest problem, the biggest story coming out of the night, unfortunately, is the injuries that the Miami Heat suffered. Looked bad at the end of the second quarter when Jimmy Butler went down, but he was right back up right away with the ankle. Not as lucky in the second half, as Bam Adebayo suffered a shoulder injury, left the game early. X-rays were negative on him, so I guess a little bit of good sign there, but unfortunately not so good for Goran Dragic. He's got an injury, the plantar fasciitis in the foot, torn plantar fascia is what they're saying. Don't know whether he's going to be able to play the rest of the series, and if he does, certainly won't be nearly as effective as he was during the rest of the bubble. And so, man, it's seems like a almost impossible hill to climb for the Miami Heat. They were the underdogs coming into this series. The Lakers have the two best players in the series, and now you take away their point guard, possibly even their best big man, Jimmy Butler, getting banged up to a little bit, although he's finished with 23 points in 33 minutes, had a pretty solid game. And Kendrick Nunn, by the way, if you turned it off and went to sleep, which I wouldn't begrudge you for doing that, in the late stages of this game really came alive. The Oakland University former player, 18 points off the bench. He's been atrocious in the bubble and in the playoffs as well. A former starter throughout most of the year, second in the rookie of the year voting. But again, comes alive late in the game in garbage time, goes 8-for-11, 18 points for the Miami Heat. So he's going to have to step up, especially if Goran Dragic is a shell of himself. Other guys like Tyler Hero is going to have to step up. He's a minus 35 out there. Andre Iguodala, I've kind of been telling you about Iguodala. He doesn't look great, even though the numbers sometimes are there. He had that tip dunk early, which was kind of symbolic of what Miami was doing well early on, but a minus 25 for him. Just not a lot to hang your hat on if you're Eric Spoelstra in the Miami Heat. Lakers, on the other hand, Anthony Davis with 34 points, 10 of 10 from the line, 9 rebounds as well. LeBron with a pedestrian 25, 13, and 9. Just more brilliance from him. 13 for KCP, the former Piston. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope had 8 quick points when the game was getting out of hand, getting away from Lakers early, and he had 8 big ones, including 2 threes that got the team back on track. Anthony Davis gave him credit for that in the post-game interview, too. Dwight Howard got the start, which was a surprise. I thought he was awful. Danny Green knocked down some shots, a plus 21 for him, 10 points off the bench for Alex Caruso as well. So, yeah, it's as bad as it could possibly have been for the Miami Heat, and the Los Angeles Lakers look like they might be in cruise control in these finals. We don't want to overstate things after game one, but kind of hard not to, right? This looks like more like a sweep than my Lakers in 6 prediction, which seems a little silly now. I shudder at the thought of those who picked the Miami to win that series, and certainly the injuries are going to play a part in ultimately what's going to happen in this series, I do believe. But we got game 2 coming up at 9 o'clock on Friday. All these games are on ABC. Back with a 7:30 game on Sunday. Every other game through game 4, every other night through game 4, which is Tuesday, and then a couple nights off before Friday night's game 5, and then every other night the rest of the way. It's just not looking good. I mean, we had a nice bubble. We've had a nice time of basketball, celebration of basketball and all that. But it looks like we might have the coronation of the king coming. Another ring for LeBron James in his 3rd franchise to win a title with, in his 9th, or was it 9 finals appearance in 10 years. Unbelievable. The only questions at this point, and again, I could sound silly in a week or so when it's competitive again somehow, but it just feels like we're heading to a sweep. And I hope I'm proven wrong and that we get some more good basketball moments the rest of the way. And that's not to say that one of these games or a couple of these games can't be competitive. Miami can't win one or two of them, but it just seems pretty unlikely that that's going to be what we see going forward here with the NBA Finals. But up next, we're going to talk Pistons draft prospect number 16 on the Locked On Pistons podcast listeners big board. Brian's going to come with it once again. The draft profile of Sadiq Bey of Villanova. That's coming up next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast. But hey, got to tell you guys about DoorDash, an absolute lifesaver during the year 2020 of our Lord. DoorDash is the app that brings you food that you're craving right now, right to your door. Ordering is easy. Open the DoorDash app, choose what you want to eat, and your food will be left safely outside your door with the new contactless delivery drop-off setting. With over 300,000 partners in the U.S., Puerto Rico, Canada, and Australia, you can support your local go-tos or choose from your favorite national restaurants like Chipotle, Wendy's, and the Cheesecake Factory. Many of your favorite local restaurants are still open for delivery. Just open the DoorDash app, support your local restaurant by selecting them, and your food will be left at your door. Right now, our listeners can get $5 off and 0 delivery fees on your first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter code LOCKEDONNBA. That's $5 off of your order and 0 delivery fees as well on that first one when you download the DoorDash app in the App Store and enter code LOCKEDONNBA. Don't forget, that's code LOCKEDONNBA for $5 off your first order with DoorDash.
Yes!
A few weeks ago, host Matt Shook asked you listeners to submit your opinions on the top 7 draft prospects for the Pistons. And after a healthy response from you, he compiled those submissions and unveiled the list of 18 players that you all voted for in the order in which you guys selected. We've decided to take a look at that list and work our way up and give a more in-depth summary of those prospects. So today we look at Sadiq Bey, a 21-year-old, 6'8", 216-pound small forward. Bey attended the Sidwell Friends School in Bethesda, Maryland after transferring from Damantha Catholic High School, and after a high school growth spurt, he led Sidwell to a state championship his junior season. As a senior, he averaged 21 points and 8 rebounds a game and rated a 4-star recruit. After being released from a letter of intent with North Carolina State, he ended up at Villanova to play for coach Jay Wright's Wildcats. He started 29 games his freshman year with league champion Nova and was named to the Big East All-Freshman team. As a sophomore, he averaged 16 points and 5 rebounds and was unanimous selection to the All-Big East first team and won the Robert B. Giese Trophy awarded annually to the top player in the Philadelphia Big Five. Bey saw a drastic improvement between his freshman and sophomore year in his shooting, both from the charity stripe and behind the arc, shooting 80% from the line and over 45% from college three-point range, something he credits to his hard work in the gym, as he told Mike Schmitz on ESPN.
Working on my craft every day, in our offense, we preach like catch and shoot.
Yeah.
Even if it's slightly contested, like if you want to step into it and we feel comfortable, let it go. So I think just practicing like every day and just working on the fundamentals, and my coaching staff helping me, you know, try to perfect my shot as much as I can, just gave me the confidence to be able to, you know, shoot better. So it was great.
Bay possesses a high basketball IQ, and on the defensive end, his versatility defending multiple positions became apparent, as he was asked to switch a lot on screens to defend smaller guards. That isn't to say that Bay can't fight through screens, because he can, and his ability to chase down shooters and play good recovery defense is apparent when watching him on film. He doesn't take many chances on the defensive end, so he doesn't force a lot of turnovers, but is very rarely out of position and can stay with smaller players. Bay is a classic 3-and-D guy, and there are questions about how well his offensive game will translate to the NBA in terms of getting to the basket to finish against more athletic players. I have seen some earlier mocks that had him as high as 10th, but most more recent mock drafts have him setting in the late teens and even in the 20s, so you probably won't hear the Pistons taking him unless they trade down from their current 7th slot. Some NBA comparisons I have seen are Wesley Matthews and Denzel Valentine. Thank you for listening, and we look forward on seeing you in the next installment when we will take a look at forward Leandro Bolmaro.
Thanks so much to Brian for another edition of the Draft Profiles. That's number 16, Sadiq Bay of Villanova. Like Mikal Bridges vibes, right? With the strict 3-and-D, although not the type of player that Mikal Bridges is, kind of that next level below. Sadiq Bay doesn't get me nearly as excited as a guy like Pat Williams that we talked about the other day out of Florida State, just because I feel like Williams has more of that offensive upside. Whereas Bay is going to come in and be a better player on day one rookie, I would prefer that ceiling. I don't know that Sadiq Bay is going to be a starter in the NBA at any point. I think you'd see him more as more of a kind of a role player off the bench who won't hurt your team, but maybe not a guy who's going to ultimately help your team all that much. I think he's going to be fine as a late in the first round kind of guy who goes on a good team and contributes and has not a long, long career, but maybe a decently long career. But like Brian talked about, what I'm reading and the little film I've seen on Villanova during the college basketball season and lately, which I'll guarantee you is not very much Villanova game tape, just not really that explosion that you're looking for, not really that type of guy who's going to have some potential to be more than a 3-and-D. And if you're talking about 3-and-D, then he's got to be a knockdown shooter, a guy who knocked it down in college, but not a whole lot of a sample size of that three-point shot. And it's not as smooth-looking as some of those Devin Vassell type of shots that you really like at the college game. So to me, going to be a guy who's on a very good college team, comes out of a very good college program, and there's a lot of success from the guys that come out of Jay Wright's program at Villanova. But pulling up the stats now, 45% at three, there's obviously nothing wrong with that. I mean, it's great, but that's a college three-pointer and a guy who came off of a 37% mark as a freshman. So you average those out, you're 41.8. It's good, but it's not something to get all that excited about, especially if there's not it doesn't look great on tape, and it's not something that you can be super excited about when he was like a McDonald's All-American type of player in high school, like Pat Williams was when Brian talked about that earlier today, a five-star type of guy who went to Florida State and was a one-and-done. I get more excited about the potential of players like that than solid players who were contributors at a very good program at Villanova and very good players at Villanova. I don't want to tear down Sadiq Bey. He's got 16 a game at one of the best teams in the country, so nothing wrong with that, but not the type of guy that I think that the Pistons should be trying to build their organization around. If you're going to be trading down and talking about the mid to late lottery or even the early 20s or something like that, that's where I would rather take that swing and get a guy. I just don't think that there's going to be – I know that this sounds crazy because I do talk about the reliability of bringing in contributors like Onyeka Okongwu, Killian Hayes, and Tyrese Halliburton, guys that I don't think have – hugely enormous ceilings that they could possibly live up to. But I think that those guys are going to be solid enough players where they could be starters in the NBA, whereas we get down to the Sadiq Bey type level, I'm not feeling NBA starter as much. And I just don't think that if you can't be a starter in the league, if you're at the bottom of a rebuild, then you should probably think twice about taking that guy. But I've got some NHL talk, put it at the end of the show just in case you guys wanted to tune it out. And another reason to tune it out is I think the audio is not very good on my part, but I'm going to give myself a pass One free pass on this one. It won't happen again. But Nolan Bianchi and Ethan Smith of Locked On Red Wings, these guys do a great job, friends of mine. They've got some draft talk for you because their draft is coming up for the Red Wings on Tuesday, and I felt like you guys would want to get the Cliff's Notes version, and also some of you are going to hear them and hear how charming they are and how fun they are, and go check out that podcast, maybe catch up on some of the last couple weeks as well. That's coming up next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast. But hey, rockauto.com is the website where you need to go to get new parts for your rides. Rockauto.com is a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to rockauto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet for your ride. Whether it's for your classic or your daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The rockauto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brand specifications and prices that you prefer. Best of all, those prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low, and the same for the pros as the do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck right Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so that they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts that your car will ever need, rockauto.com. All right, and now we're being joined by the co-hosts of the Locked On Red Wings podcast. These guys are about, I don't know, 6 weeks ahead of where Pistons fans are in terms of getting ready for the NHL draft. We got some more time to prepare here on the NBA draft. But we got Ethan and Nolan, the two guys that run the show. Guys, thanks for taking the time here.
Hey, thanks for having us. Happy to be here.
Thank you.
Absolutely, and we just had the Tampa Bay Lightning get the cup secured the other night, so you guys are the hockey experts that we come to here on Locked On Pistons. How did it go with the cup finals? I mean, anything that Mike Emmerich's involved in, I'm all in on. So I was watching the clincher the other night, and exciting even without the fans. But, well, what, no COVID, you know, what do we think overall about how things went in Edmonton and Toronto?
Everything kind of went off without a hitch. I mean, similar to the NBA, you know, once everybody kind of got in there, and I was a heavy skeptic before the tournament started, but once everybody kind of got into their respective bubbles, they had zero COVID positive tests. Everything went off without a hitch. They delivered a champion in exactly the way that they said it would. So I guess there are really, really no complaints on my end. I thought it was a great on-ice product. Yeah, I thought it went pretty well.
Yeah, I'd say I thought it was going to be about what's going on in the NFL right now, and you start seeing like the Tennessee Titans just started getting some cases, and now that's all going to be a mess. I kind of thought that's what it was going to be like, but I mean, props to the NHL. They did a great job with it. I guess if people watched any games, it seems like the fan pumped in noise was a bit abstract and kind of just press the boo button now, yeah. Press the cheer button now. But I mean, I think they did the best job they could. But really, once the teams got going, it really just turned into it was the product on the ice was great.
And I know you guys have been studying these draft prospects. Has anything changed from lottery night? Because I remember watching, and you guys know much more than I do, obviously, that you had kind of a one man number one tier, and then kind of a two man two and three tier. And then the Red Wings kind of get screwed over and fall at number four. Is that wrong? Has that changed? Should Red Wings fans be a little bit more optimistic than maybe that sounds like from lottery night?
Well, I think one thing, you are correct. I still do believe, I'm fairly confident that it is going to go one, two, three in the way that we think it is. Two and three might kind of be reversed. But lately, I think the initial reaction was that Detroit was going to be taking this left wing slash center out of Saginaw named Cole Perfetti, just okay. Kind of, you know, the local kid that people have been able to keep an eye on, the Red Wings organization, that is. Okay. And I think since then, the one big change, in my opinion, is it feels like a lot of the murmurs have moved away from the Red Wings possibly taking a defenseman, either Jamie Drysdale of Erie or Jake Sanderson from the National Team Development Program. And now you're kind of seeing I'm kind of focused on two prospects who I think that the Red Wings are going to take, and that is either Cole Perfetti or a Swedish winger out of the SHL in Sweden named Lucas Raymond, who's absolutely disgusting. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of where I'm at with the situation.
A good start with the Red Wings, right?
Yes, absolutely. But you know how the draft goes, Matt. NBA, NHL, it's all the same. Anything can happen once that first team goes on the clock. So we'll see. Yzerman already 1-for-1 on picking an unexpected player. So
yeah, really. I do know drafts, and I do know that they always wear great suits, but maybe that's the NBA only. But Ethan, what do you think? I mean, do you have any rebuttal to what Nolan tells us, or another guy that we should watch out for, or someone that you're zeroing in on?
Not so much a rebuttal. Going back to last year, Yzerman takes somebody who is projected to go late teens, early 20s, and he turned out to be one of the best defensive prospects in the draft.
Yeah,
at 6.
Solid pick, yeah.
So really whoever Yzerman takes is going to be that person that, I mean, I immediately put all my faith in and say, okay, this guy's going to be without a doubt the best in this draft class. I completely believe in Steve. The good thing about this draft class is that it's very deep with forwards. So we're going to get a very good forward prospect in this draft. And then next year's draft is very heavy in defense. And if I'm guessing we're going to be in the bottom five again in the league this year. Sure. So it's going to take a little bit of time, but we're going to start rounding the corner after next year.
And it's 3 second-round picks this year and then 3 more next year. Is that right?
That's correct. And they have 5 picks this year from 32 to 65.
Nice. And so Tuesday is the draft, or the first round of the draft, correct?
Yep.
Tuesday on NBC Sports Network, and the Red Wings picking 4th. And we'll see if he can duplicate the Mo Sider pick from last year that worked out really well. Any long shots out there that maybe the betting public or anyone else might want to be aware of?
Well, I mean, there's a couple. So there's this goaltender out of Russia. His name is Yaroslav Askarov. And it would be unthinkable for the Red Wings to take a goalie top 5.
Right. Like, they never principle. Go that high, right?
No, yeah. I mean, just out of principle, it's a tough pill to swallow. Like, you just don't see it happen very often, but like the later we get into this draft season, the one wrinkle that has been thrown in is that the KHL has played about a month of its regular season, and he has been absolutely incredible playing in a men's league, the goaltender that everybody thought he was. So I guess that's somebody to look for, but outside of possibly the Red Wings grabbing a defenseman, I don't really know that there's anybody who would be unthinkable because of the fact that there's such little separation in that third tier that you mentioned of like 4 to 10.
Yeah. And such a big need in the between the pipes for the Red Wings, just no real prospects and nothing. No. The cupboard's bare, and obviously not just one goalie prospect. You want a couple, and hopefully one of them or so pans out over time. But Ethan, tell us about the show and what listeners can expect if they want to dig deep maybe this weekend and get prepared for the draft. Maybe get, you know, it's exciting. I mean, the Red Wing, the Tigers picked first and got a player that everyone got excited about, Torkelson, there for at least a week. It was like, I remember a few good days of Detroit sports for the first time in a while. And then, of course, the Red Wings ruined it by losing the lottery. But, I mean, is there some things on the show that folks can look forward to and things can switch over and check out you guys?
Yeah, I got a lot more draft. We're really peppering in this draft prep here. Got a lot more prospects coming up. Nolan, off the top of my head, I can't remember some of the names that we have coming up.
Yeah, so we have I don't necessarily know that we'll profile anybody else going forward, but we have had a lot of draft analysts on, a lot of scouts on our show, and devoted entire episodes to looking at these players. Like all the guys that I've mentioned so far outside of Yaroslav Askarov, we have profiled. Tim Stützle, Quentin Byfield, you know, Marco Rossi, Lucas Raymond, Cole Perfetti. So we have done episodes profiling all of those guys, and then we've done quite a few episodes where we kind of round up a few second round targets per episode and look over that. And then just free agency starts October 9th, so we're kind of also keeping an eye on that with the Red Wings in their strange cap situation where they have all the cap in the world in a year where the salary cap is not going up. There's going to be a lot of movement, in my opinion, so stay tuned in for that.
Yeah, same kind of position that the Pistons are in, and we saw that Yzerman made a nice move, it seemed like, already with the Rangers the other day. So picking up another second-round pick for, I believe, next year. So Doing pretty well there and a low, not too much damage for the cap sheet going forward. But you guys do a great job with Locked On Red Wings, so they got that coming up. But then go back and check out those old episodes with all the profiles of with the draft analysts. You guys have draft analysts. I have my brother put together a little 3-minute spot.
Any player. So Brian is strong, man. Brian's a strong co-host.
He's doing great.
Are you working him into full-time? Is he getting a paycheck?
What's going on
here?
It's a tough negotiation with family, as you can imagine. So, it's episode by episode at this point. We got him on a tender, so we'll see what happens going forward.
You got yourself an intern, it sounds like.
Absolutely. Well, guys, thanks for your time. Check out Locked On Red Wings. These guys do a great job, and I'm proud to have them as part of the network and happy to have them on here on the show as well. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, man.
Nolan Bianchi and Ethan Smith of Locked On Red Wings. Catch up with those guys with their draft prep and give the Red Wings a nice week of your time as we look ahead to some positive days in Detroit sports and try to get the juices flowing towards winning and moving things in the right direction. But I'm your host, Matt Shook, and that wraps up this edition of Locked On Pistons. Now, tell your smart device to play the most recent episode of Locked On Fantasy Basketball. Have a great day, and we'll talk to you guys tomorrow for Fridays with Brian.